Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire. Incredible.
In the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. We are so delighted. We're in front of a live audience. Hey, guys. Woo-hoo! We are so excited. We are sitting here with Dan and Nicole Lawrence. Hey, guys.
Hello. How are you?
Awesome. We're just excited to have you guys. I mean, this is the first time you've been here in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, cool. How are you liking it so far?
Beautiful. Beautiful, we love it.
Amen. Oh, maybe you're called here. I'm not going to keep on praying about that. See if the Lord will give us a word, you know? Oh, my goodness. Well, this is awesome. You know, you guys are in the prophetic ministry of worship. That's so key. And before we kind of tap into your ministry, which is Living in Glory, hey, write that down, livinginglory.org, okay? So you guys will have that down because you guys have so many awesome CDs available, and you're open to come and minister, so we're fired up about that. I mean, look at us. We're here at a house gathering. I mean, aren't they so awesome? You know, I mean, so appreciate it. But hey, would you let us know, how did you guys get into ministry? Dan?
I guess when the microphone's shoved in your face, that means you have to answer.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we've been in ministry for a while. We started in deliverance ministry. We did deliverance ministry for 2 years. And then one day God told us, I'm going to move into healing ministry. And I said, well, that's fine, God, but I'd rather stay in deliverance ministry because I think it's really cool and thought it was a lot more fun. And God said, well, deliverance ministry is healing.
Amen.
And so we started, you know, just being obedient to God. And what happened was... We lived in Colorado at the time, and it was just an awesome thing because I had gotten laid off from my job, and the very next day we had gotten a flyer in the mail from Charles and Francis Hunter and a follow-up phone call, and they said, we'd like you guys to come down. We want to, you know, hang out with you, and we wanted to hang out with them too, but, you know, and we have some classes, and we really believe you guys should be ordained.
Wow.
So we were ordained by Charles and Francis Hunter.
Awesome.
And, you know, the rest is history, as they say. We just kind of stay tucked into God, and we're obedient as we can be. And, you know, God has, part of Nicole's testimonies in 1999, we bought that set of keyboards right there. She came to me and said, I really feel like I need to buy a set of keyboards. And when she gets that tone in her voice, I know not to argue or ask questions why. So I said, okay. So we went out and we bought a set of keyboards.
Now, did you ever play before? Or
no.
Was...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
When I was little, I had an organ, and I didn't know how to play it. So I'd just make up worship songs to God, and I would just play and make something up. And I didn't know later in my life that that's the same thing I would be doing, you know, for Him.
Wow.
Yeah, but I did not know how to play. I hadn't had an instrument, and I still don't know how to play. I can't even play Happy Birthday.
Isn't that something? And so, therefore, you're saying that You can't even read, like, keys, notes, or anything.
No. I know the basic. I learned the basic chords, like A through G, and that's it. Just enough to play along with worship songs and stuff.
Wow.
But, yeah,
holy cow.
I can only play in the glory.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so, Dan, so now, you know, Nicole's like, hey, I'm on a keyboard.
Right, so we went out and got her keyboard. And we brought it home, and she put it under the bed.
Okay.
And I said to myself, I don't know how you're going to learn to play the keyboards under there, but I know not to question things, so I didn't do anything. I said, okay. And then the very next day was Sunday. We went to church, and we had a guest speaker. And he pulled Nicole up, you know, right out of the congregation, and he looked at her and he said, I see you playing keyboards. Mm-hmm. Deliverance nets are coming down, and people are, and healing is sweeping through the place.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Can you start to feel the atmosphere shift right now? I mean, oh my gosh, holy cow, it's just like raining down here. I mean,
right.
Wow.
And so, you know, I thought, well, that's cool, because the only people that knew we had the keyboards was Nicole and myself. No one else knew. We didn't tell anybody.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later, we had a prophetess come to our church, and she said, she pulls Nicole up out of the congregation and says, I see you playing keyboards. Notes are coming out of the speakers, and they're going into people and getting healed. And this music is to heal the masses. Mm. So from 1999 up until 2006, she got 25 prophetic words from people we don't know, from people we do know, from all over the country that would come through our church, or we would go places, and they would say, they'd pull her up and say, hey, we had one prophetic word from a Hispanic pastor who said, I see you playing the keyboards in front of a field of people.
Mm.
And they're in stretchers and have medical devices and prosthetics and all these, you know, different medical things. And he said, and then the next vision, the field, everybody was gone, and the field was completely littered with all those medical devices. Like, they didn't need them anymore, so they left them right there.
Wow.
And so then, really what happened was, I was in Los Angeles, I was working in corporate America at the time, and I was in Los Angeles, and I'm in LAX airport, and I'm at the kiosk counter waiting to get my ticket, and I look over, and I see this guy, and I say to myself, man, that guy looks just like TV Jakes. Right? So he sees me staring at him, and he nods his head, and I nod my head back, and I just said, you know what, sir? Did anybody ever tell you you look exactly like Bishop T.D. Jakes? And he said, yeah, I get that all the time. So I thought, okay, well, he gets it all the time. It's okay. And he's looking at me, and he's smiling, and he says, you want to know why I say that? I said, no, why? He goes, because I am Bishop T.D. Jakes. So that was it. You know, we shook hands, and he told me he was just came back from Australia and was heading to New York, and we lived in Colorado. I was heading home to Colorado. We got our tickets. He went one way, I went the other. Got to my gate, and about 5-10 minutes later, maybe less than that, I'm looking around, and I hear a commotion, and I see his bodyguards, and then I see Bishop T.D. Jakes. And so I wonder what they're doing over here. Well, maybe what I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe they went to the wrong gate. You know how you don't know what's going on, so you say things. So then he sees me, and he comes right over to me.
Wow.
And he said, Dan, tell your wife she has to get her albums out.
Hmm. Well, now, at the time, did you even have any albums out?
No, we had nothing.
Nothing. I mean, were you even practicing on the keyboard at that time?
No.
No.
Oh!
Even though I had been telling her this for years to get her music out, this is our standard running joke that, you know, it took Bishop T.D. Jakes to tell her to get her music out because she just said, well, you know, it's in God's time. That's her favorite line to me. It's in God's timing. It's always in God's timing. And she's right. It is in God's timing.
Okay.
And so I'm going to let Nicole take it from here because she can tell you all about the music.
Well, you know, before we get into the music, I want to know, how did you guys come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because, you know, I love hearing the testimony of how people come to know him, because there's the flavor is so broad out there, you know, and it may touch someone who's listening right now that maybe have, you know, went through a situation that you guys went through and know that they have hope because the Lord touched you.
Well, actually, I was brought up in a Baptist church, and went to church as a little girl. But then when I hit my teenage years, I went away from church and joined the Navy and went my own way. And we met in Italy. We lived in Italy 6 years. And when we came back to the States, it was such a culture shock to us because there was a lot of drive-by shootings and gang violence. We felt like we had locked the doors, and it was really, you know, we've been in Italy, and it just wasn't like that. It was more a peaceful place.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no need to worry about the crime like that. And we had our two little kids, you know. So we went to a church, and, well, you want to tell him? Because, you know, that, he likes to toast.
I can tell.
Well, basically what happened was we were living in Orlando, Florida at the time, and we got to, we just, as Nicole said, we just didn't like America. It was just terrible for us. And so I'm sitting Saturday morning reading the newspaper, and it was really bizarre, but I make this statement to Nicole, maybe we need to go to church. Because we were just talking about everything that was going on. And I was raised in a Catholic church, and I left at 14, and I didn't go back, and I didn't, you know, this would be, so this was my first time in a church.
Wow. Why did you leave then? Tell us the whole story.
There's too much pressure right now. But basically what happened was my oldest sister had married someone who wasn't a Catholic. And my mom played the organ in the church, and my dad was a choir director. So we go to church, and the priest meets us at the door of the church, and he says to our whole family, he can't come in.
Wow.
And, you know, being only 14 and being in a Catholic church where it was predominantly Latin all the time, I didn't understand anything anyhow. But so we go there, and I just said to the priest, I said, well, why? Because I didn't understand why. And he said, well, your sister married someone who's not a Catholic, so he's not allowed to come in. And so I said, well, you know, I've heard you say that Jesus forgives. Mm-hmm. So if Jesus forgives and a mistake's been made, he can forgive him and her, and we can go to church. And he looked at me and he said something that I never forget, and it was, what you don't understand is that God forgives, man doesn't.
Wow.
And I just said, well, okay, then I'll never come to this church again. And I was 14, and I walked away and hadn't been to a church since.
Mm.
So here I am in Orlando telling my wife, hey, I think we need to go to church.
Right.
Because we really didn't know what the answer was. We've only been in the States less than 30 days.
Mm.
So in the Sunday paper, or the Saturday paper in Orlando, they advertise all the churches. And so I'm looking through. I have no idea what denominations are. I'm just, So I found this one that said, come as you are, bring your lawn chair and your something to drink. We're having church outside, bring your hat. I said, this is what we're doing. That sounds like this is pretty cool. But it didn't happen that way because we overslept. And so then I go back to the paper on Sunday morning, and the closest church to us that we could get to on time was a Baptist church. So we packed up the kids and we went to the Baptist church, and you know, haven't been in church in for so long and not really knowing Jesus, it was all like a big culture shock to me because it was nice, you know, and it was, the people were friendly and they loved, they just accepted us for who we were, mm-hmm. you know, and so, you know, we got to go to that church, and I remember the pastor was given a message. And the title of the message was something like, what kind of crown are you going to lay at the feet of Jesus?
Hmm.
And so I'm just sitting there next to Nicole, and we're holding hands. And all of a sudden, I see myself in this room full of men, you know. And all these men of, you know, every race, every, you know, ethnic background, they're all sitting in these chairs. And I look at them, and in their hands, they have these crowns. And they're made of gold and silver and bronze, and there's inlaid beautiful gems in every single one of them. I mean, the things are gorgeous.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. And I look in my hands, and I have a wet paper towel.
Mm.
And then I remember seeing that, and I'm thinking, this can't be good. And then,
what's wrong with this?
And then the pastor, and I kept looking, I kept seeing, and it's like, not only could I see all these individual faces, but I could see what they were holding. Mm-hmm. Even though, and the room was full of, it was just men. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't understand in that part either, but, and then I remember the pastor saying, if anybody wants to give your life to Jesus, it doesn't make a difference what you've done or what your background is or whatever. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm asking you to come forward. And so I looked over at Nicole, I opened my eyes, and we looked at each other, and we both mouthed at the same time, "You're crying." Mm. And there was tears running down my face, and there was tears running down her face. So we grabbed hands, and we kind of trotted down the aisle because, and, you know, it was just something that I knew I had to do because I didn't want to give Jesus a wet paper towel.
Right.
You know? And so we gave our life to the Lord on that Sunday morning, and we went to that church for 3 or 4 months.
Amen. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been, where you are right now, but the Lord's arms are always open wide, ready to receive you into His bosom. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people, like you were saying, oh gosh, you know, all I have is this, you know, I've done this, I've been down this road, you know, raised Catholic, and, you know, just was not in a good place, and yet the Holy Spirit was wooing you, because, you know, when you guys came back and you saw what was going on and the crime and so forth, and it was just like, oh, man, we've got to get it together, you know. Yeah. He's the only way, you know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So from there, I mean, you're starting to get, like, all these prophetic words, right? Or
that was back in 1994.
Okay.
And, and another church story, if you got to hear it.
might as well.
Well, this is important. I mean, it is important because what had happened was in Catholic Church, I never saw a Bible. Mm. And when I got saved, they gave me a Bible. And they gave Nicole a Bible. And I consumed that thing. And we both read it every day from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm the first to admit, in my early Christian days, I didn't understand anything I was reading. To me, it was just a well-put-together book. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was murder and mayhem, and God was involved, and things were happening, and prophets were prophesying, and people were getting killed, and it was a big flood, and, you know, and all the way through it. And then, for some reason, the Lord kept bringing me back to Acts chapter 2.
Mm.
And in these 3 or 4 months that we had been to this church, we were water baptized, and then what happened, I said, I went to the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, you know, you baptized us in the water, so I don't know what this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing is, but I really want it." And he just kind of looked at me and smiled, and he said, "I'll get back to you on that." So, you know, I thought, you know, maybe there was some kind of checklist you had to go through or something and find yourself worthy. I didn't know. I said, okay, but this went on for a couple of months, and he wouldn't tell me. And so one day I was driving by the church and I saw his car there, so I stopped and I went to his office and I said, "Pastor, I got to know, why can't I get this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Am I doing something wrong?" And he told me, he said, "If you keep asking me about that, you're going to have to leave the church."
Oh my gosh.
And I was more shocked than hurt because I heard him say from the pulpit so many times, "We believe everything in the Bible."
Mm.
And, you know, like I said, being a new Christian, I didn't know anything about denominations and who believes what and what believes this and all that stuff. So I said, "No problem, we won't be back." And we never went back. And then Nicole found this Assembly of God church that was closer to our home. And this thing was, you know, they were healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And I didn't understand any of that either. But you could just feel the atmosphere of God.
Mm.
You know, you could feel, and you could in the Baptist church too, but this was at a whole different level.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. You know, just a completely different level. And so, and this church was wonderful because they knew how to take brand new Christians like us who didn't know anything, particularly me, and say, you know, this is what you have to do. This is, you know, Bible study, men's groups, you know, praise and worship. And you learn as you go. And so, and the church was wonderful for that. It was just mm-hmm. absolutely wonderful. And during that time is where Nicole started getting all these prophetic words from the prophets and prophetesses and guest speakers that were coming through. And, you know, like I said, even after we got those first couple of prophetic words and they kept coming, we still didn't tell anybody that Nicole had a set of keyboards.
Mm.
Because, you know, it was from, you know, 1990, I guess it was mid-1994 at this time. She got the keyboards in 96.
99.
Or 99, right. So, and then she just started getting all these prophetic words. So, you know, and I was like, come on, Nicole, it's time. We got to get this, however you're doing it. And you know, she doesn't know how to play. I mean, that's the thing. She doesn't know how to play.
So what happened? So, I mean, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? And you have this keyboard that's shoved underneath your bed, right? And you're getting all these prophetic words of, like, this, you know, psalmist. So how did you start to move in that?
Well, first of all, I did take it out, and I learned those basic chords, and I'd play along with praise and worship because, I was trying to take a first step, you know, of playing. But I never got past that because I just taught myself A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we moved to Colorado, and I just told God. I said, God, all these words, over 25 prophetic words over all these years.
That's key right there.
Yeah.
I want people to hear that. All these years,
mm-hmm.
25,
years.
I mean, all these words mm-hmm. and everything, you know, so you may have a dream. You know, and you've had all these words that you're going to be, you know, this or that, or this beautiful psalmist. Go ahead. This is awesome.
And I knew that there is no way that I could play the keyboards and heal anybody. Even if I could play so beautifully and perfect, like the best pianist, I could not heal anybody. I knew that that had to be God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told God, God, if all those words over all those years were really you, and there was no denying because it was different people from different states and saying the same thing. But I said, God, if that was you, you're going to have to make this happen because there's no way I can do it. And then he bumped into Bishop T.D. Jakes and he got the word. I wasn't even going to church at the time, but God knew exactly where I was. He knew where to find me, you know. That didn't bother him one bit, you know. And he got the word that it was time. And so I just got at my keyboard in my basement in Colorado, and I just started, I thought, well, I better look for a sound, or how am I going to do healing music, because I still don't know how to do healing music.
Mm.
So I thought, maybe I'll call Oral Roberts. But then I thought, well, he really doesn't know how to do it either. I didn't know, you know. And there was no one I could call for this. So it was. I had to trust in God again, alone, in Him. So I started searching for a sound on my keyboard that I was going to make a recording with. And then I realized I still didn't even know how to play. After all these years, I never, you know, learned how to play. But God knew that too. I realized, you know, well, He said it's time, and He knows I can't play. But He's saying it's time, so I had to step out in faith. And this is like walking on water. Every time that I play is a step of faith, and whenever I play, people are healed. And
share some of that about the healings. What's going on when you're playing? What are you seeing out there?
Oh, I see a lot of people just getting healed, emotional healings and physical healings. People being transformed to glory to glory. You can just see their whole countenance change. They can't be in the presence of the glory of God and leave the same way that they came in. And the more time they're just standing in His presence, you know, saturated, they're just going from glory to glory. And there's been miracle healings and healings over time that have happened in the meetings. And on CD, too, we've had many miracle testimonies. In one meeting, for example, of the miracle and healing, a lady, or we pray for eyes because God has said, you know, people to pray for your eyes at that time. Every time it's different, so
sure.
It's, we just follow the Holy Spirit and let Him do it because it's all His thing anyway. He has nothing to do with it. I just, I just stand back up, you know, here and just step out of faith, and he's the one who touches the people, and that's the great thing about the music is it can touch the furthest person away, where some people can't, you know, come up and get hands laid on them, and that's the thing that the music does is it reaches people, and they don't have to have hands laid on them. They're just getting healed no matter where they're at, and it can reach anybody, anywhere. So that's a beautiful thing about it that I love, because, you know, there's some people who won't come forward, you know, for prayer and stuff like that, but God will reach them, you know, and there's some who never could, like in stadiums, you know, they can't all come down and get hands laid on them, you know, for healing, but God's not going to leave them out. Yeah. He's made a way with this music that, just like all the prophecies, the notes are going into the people and healing them, and God's doing the miracles, and as I was saying, this guy, his cataracts came off his eyes, and he was just so...
Praise God.
Yeah, he was so... He was standing there crying. He was so excited and blessed, and there was this lady in her 60s, and she had wore glasses since she was in second grade, and they just got thicker by the year, you know, and she had sent us an email the next day, and she said, I was mad at God. I was so mad because I didn't understand how come he got his eyes healed and I wanted my eyes healed, and, you know, but I didn't get my eyes healed. And when she woke up in the morning, she had put on her glasses and she couldn't see. And she took off her glasses and then she realized she could see, and then she put them back on and she couldn't see, and then she took them off and then she realized she was healed. But when she left there that night, she didn't know she had a healing, you know, because it was an instant miracle. You know, so some people realize later that they got healed, you know. So a lot of people come up afterwards and they give their testimony when they know pain's left their body, or they know that they were healed of something immediately, you know, in those kind of circumstances, where multiple sclerosis or something, spine straightening up and ears opening and, you know, all these kind of things that are obvious at the time. But there's people who you know, so their healing has started, and then they realize it later. So,
amen. And you know, I just it's so awesome. It's like, I mean, can you guys like feel like it's getting stronger? You know, the intensity in here of the Holy Spirit, and just receive what God's going to do tonight. Because there's some of you out there that have been dealing with some issues in your body, and I just feel, by the Holy Ghost, that you are going to leave this place in His fullness. Because, you know, we've stepped into a whole new dimension, especially in worship.
Yeah.
You know, the sound, like you were saying, oh gosh, Lord, what's the sound? You know, what is the sound going to be? You know?
It's that's the part I didn't tell you. Yeah, I didn't get to that. But when I stepped out of faith, I was like, okay, God, well, you said it was time. So I'm going to search for a sound to record with. And I went through every single sound on my keyboards, and there wasn't a sound in there that I liked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the best sound, but it was like, in my spirit, it was like, I don't really like this, but God, again, you know, this is what I have, and you called me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. So I just started, you know, just worshiping God, making up stuff as I usually do, worshiping Him from my heart, and I played a couple of notes, and the sound switched.
Wow!
Just like that, instantly, it changed into a sound that was never in my keyboards ever before. And my spirit was saying, "Yes, God, that's it. Yes, that's it." And my spirit was just resonating with the sound. And if that sound would have been in there before, that's the sound I would have picked. I know it. But I had no idea He was going to give me a new sound from heaven. I had no idea. But I found out later, part of the sound, he put in a harp in part of this sound. And then when I realized that, I was totally blown away again. And then I remembered how David played for King Saul, and he was healed and delivered from the tormenting spirit with that instrument. And it just blew me away. It's like, God, you are so good. It's amazing. He just gave me this sound this new sound that was never here before, and it's healing people. And I went in and I recorded the CD, and people have seen, like, this 12-year-old girl had this huge tumor on the back of her neck, watched it instantly disappear. A pastor in India sent us a testimony that a lady, she's 65 years old, blind from birth, they were playing at Fort Church, she can now see.
Amen.
And
woo!
every kind of miracle, from cancers, tumors, diabetes, you know, it's, we've heard so many testimonies.
There's just so many of them, and it's hard to catalog and keep track of all of them because there's so many. I mean, we have two documented ones of multiple sclerosis, one from Dr. David Van Covering plays Nicole's Healing Glory CD when he ministers. He plays her music in the background, and he had someone heal the multiple sclerosis in instant healing. Mm-hmm. And we have blood issues, leukemia, you know, all kinds of cancers. And this lady in Kansas that we know, we met her in a motorized wheelchair. She had multiple sclerosis, and she's only like 33 years old. And so I gave her Healing Glory CD, and you know, she's a Christian. I said, I just want you to listen to this, and I believe God's going to heal you if you really expect God to heal you. We saw her a month later with a walker, and the wheelchair was gone. We saw her about 3 weeks after that, she's on crutches. And then she tells, I said, and she's, you know, she's just beaming from ear to ear, and she's, even her doctor told her, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. Because your blood work is changing, everything is changing, and, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And all she's telling him was, well, I listened to this Healing Glory CD that somebody gave me, and it's healing people. And she told me the last time I saw her, when she had her crutches, she said, all I want to do, I'm getting married in like 6 weeks, and all I want to do is walk down the aisle like a normal bride. And 6 weeks later, she walked down that aisle, multiple sclerosis, cannot be found anywhere.
Was she the girl that was on Yahoo? They just had a story about a girl that was getting married, and she was in a wheelchair, then she went to crutches, and...
I don't know.
You know, well, much to God glory for that. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's exciting. You know, and that's what we're hearing, coming from a medical background, that sound, frequencies, that we've heard that people have had, like, tumors on their bodies, would put sound or, like, your music by that area, and the frequency, you know, because God spoke and it was, you know, and the sound just transforms the molecules, everything that's within the atmosphere, and yes, it does, you know, and they have right now, just so far, you guys have Revelation Glory, Prophetic Glory, right, and then Healing Glory. Head on over to their site, livinginglory.org, and pick up all the CDs, not only for yourself, but for everyone that you know. This is key, because if you look at Obamacare, we don't stand on Obamacare. We stand on the kingdom of God's care. And I so believe that this worship music, the sound, we won't need Obamacare. We won't need to go into the hospital or the doctors. We just have this piping through our homes, through our cars, and we're going to walk in that fullness.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, Dan. I know you got something to say. He's ready to crack up over here.
On the Healing Glory CD,
mm-hmm.
If you get it on the bottom, it says, warning. You better read it.
Well, there is a warning label I had to put on here. The glory and anointing strong in this recording. Don't try to drive while you're listening to this.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm glad you said that.
Only because we've had some experiences where pastors have tried and they just got so full of the glory, just filled up their car so much they had to pull over on the side of the road. One guy actually ran off the road and was there for, he doesn't even know how long, but he's just in the presence of God, you know. Wow. And God does so many miracles with this, but you know, some people can listen to it when they drive. I just had to put that there just in case, because
exactly.
I want you to be safe, but you know. But it is, people listen to it around the world 24/7. I record it on one track so people can just put it on repeat and they just listen to it, and
awesome.
It brings peace into homes. It changes the atmosphere and brings healing. Now this CD, Healing Glory, I only did it because God told me to do it. And he told me what to call it, and he told me what key to play it in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And I just went to the studio and, you know, just closed my eyes most of the time, and I started worshiping God. Then I started hearing notes in the spirit realm, and so I started copying those notes and playing along. If I would hear a note, then I would play them.
Mm.
And then when I didn't, I would just worship him, and then it was a back and forth thing. So it's just like straight from the throne. The sound opens portals. The sound opens the portals for healing, revelation, and the prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of the CDs that God told me to do, healing, revelation, and prophetic glory, I didn't even know in the Bible that God had used the harp in history for those things at all. I just stepped out in faith and did exactly what he told me to do. I recorded it. And I had known, you know, the Bible story about how David played the harp for
right.
Saul. So I knew that one. But I didn't know Revelation, that there is a scripture for that in the Bible supporting the sound. And also prophetic, there's many, many, where Elijah called for someone to play the harp before he would prophesy. You know, he said whenever they started playing the harp, then the power of the Lord came upon Elijah and he started prophesying. And there's several scriptures throughout the Word. So it's supported, you know, biblically, that this isn't some weird New Age sound.
That's right.
You know, this is very biblical, and I just praise God for it.
Well, this is the time. We are in the season where the supernatural is really, you know, opening up people's eyes to the truth of the living Word. You know, and when you said a portal, it reminds me of the number four. You know, numbers are so important to the Lord, and the number four is stated emphatically, door, door, door. So he's opening up, I mean, he emphasizes the door being opened. So when you pray, the door, door, door is opening, so his glory, it's a, you know, I just see like this light that just comes, you know, straight up and down. And, I mean, it's just going to exude all over you guys tonight. I mean, wow.
Many people have seen the shafts of light and golden shafts and notes coming down and notes going out of speakers. And how I know this is in different states will say, well, what color was, you know, did you see? And they're describing the exact same colors.
Wow.
That everyone sees.
Mm-hmm. That everyone sees at the same time.
Well, the people that see it, they, you know, because we don't tell them what the colors are.
So
we say, well, what? We say, oh, I saw most of the colors, and they're the exact same colors that everybody says.
Wow.
That's how we know that they're actually seeing them.
But the also waterfalls and rivers. When I play, people see waterfalls and rivers and. Waves of glory just come. Sometimes people can't even stand up. Just waves of glory just wash over people. And when we were in Finland, there was such a powerful presence with God and such a huge open portal. And the people were just so full of God. God was just there. I was actually just trying to hang on to my keyboard at that time. Because it was powerful waves. I had never seen the presence of God that strong. And I felt, uh-oh. This isn't a normal wave. Another wave that I found, this one is going to be big. So I kind of braced myself. And then he came over and he said, God just said he's going to send a tsunami wave over your shoulder. And and then he took the mic and he said, God's about to send a tsunami. And then before he could even get it out, over my right shoulder, it came and it just wiped out everyone on the whole left-hand side of the church. And
they just went flying back, knocking over chairs. They ended up in a puppy pile. They were just swept through the place so strong, and it was amazing.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I've read a lot about like Joshua Mills, just bringing up, oh my gosh, just being in the presence of, the worship, the sound, just really impacted. Him and his whole family, and then David Vancouver, and he's like, wow, this is like, wow, awesome. So it's the sounds like today.
Absolutely.
We've been hearing for a couple years now that there's a new sound, and I really believe that this is the sound.
Amen.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. Wow. And what I love about what God's doing with it is it's touching people and reviving people. It's healing them, equipping them, and restoring them. And we believe, our heart's for the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart is for the remnant of God, and the word says that the remnant will restore the glory.
Yeah.
And it is, it's healing them. When, many churches don't believe in healing, but God still heals. And he still wants to heal, so he's made a way with his music. He's made a way with the music, and it crosses denominational boundaries. It's not threatening, and so many non-believers will listen to it, just because of that.
Wow.
And getting healed and seeing miracles, and God wants us to have, be healed inside and out. So we have important work to do. The remnant is going to run with this in the glory. And he wants everyone healed. He wants everyone to have revelation. And that's what revelation glory does. It just opens that portal for revelation. He wants you to know who you are in him and who he is in you and what you were called and created to do. And I got a powerful testimony on revelation glory that two people were praying while they were listening to that, and they got transported to Israel.
Wow.
Yeah.
They ended up in Israel and were praying for the soldiers there.
Wow.
And they live in Colorado, and God brought them right to Israel. He said, we were there. And it's just amazing, and God blesses businesses with it.
I was just going to ask you about that. Have you had any testimonies about finance and business?
Yes.
Wow.
To a guy who makes toys, he called and gave a testimony. He said, I'm a toy maker, and my toys were never selling, and I started listening to your Revelation Glory CD while I'm making my toys. And then God told me to just change this one little thing and change the color. So he pulled them all off the shelf and just changed that one little thing, changed the color. And now he can't keep them on the shelf. He actually has a manufacturing plant because he can't keep up with the demand. It's just so huge.
Oh, my gosh. Are you guys ready for that? Okay. Increase in business. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I know Vic with the furniture business and Trish with the realtor business. Come on now. Mm-hmm. And ministry. Glory.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. And he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
To be a blessing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And I think that the reason that God had Nicole do healing glory first for the remnant was, if you have sickness in your body, and if you have unforgiveness, and you need emotional healing, can God use you? Yes. But why run at 50% when you can run at 150%?
Exactly.
Because if you have sickness and hurt and pain in your body, it's hard to minister to people.
Yeah, it is.
And so, the remnant, that word in the Old Testament is used 50 times. And it's very important because the remnant is going to bring the glory of God back to this earth and back to America.
Amen.
Because, and the reason that they're called and chosen to do it is because of their special gifts, talents, and abilities, and things that they do, which they may have forgotten. A lot of people, to me, here's the most amazing thing. About 3 weeks ago, we were ministering in Russia and Finland.
Wow.
We were in two churches in Russia and three in Finland. Right? Three? Yeah. Yeah, three. Three towns, different services, different places. Even a home. We even did a home meeting in Oulu, Finland. But anyhow, so what's important is the remnant has all these gifts and abilities, but religion squashes them.
Come on.
Religion says you can't do this. Religion says you can't prophesy. Religion says you can't heal. Religion says you can't do signs, miracles, and wonders. Religion says those things. Well, just like, see, the remnant, we're out of the box people, all of us. We're all out of the box. You know, I say, well, is that biblical? Yes, it is biblical. Well, how do you know that, Dan? Because they tried to keep Jesus in a box for 3 days, and he didn't like
Come
it either.
Come on now.
So they, he raised, you know, he got rose from the dead. So we're the same way. We don't want to be kept in that box.
Amen.
You know? And so even though religion or the church or whoever you want to classify says you can't do that, Jesus says you can do everything and anything. And, you know, and it's all right there. Yeah. So if you're healed 100% and you need to, and you may have forgotten what your gifts are, or you might not know what your gifts are. Revelation Glory, I mean, we have so many testimonies from Revelation Glory of people that are saying, you know what, I forgot that, you know, I had this old, dusty, crusty guitar in my closet from 30 years ago, and God told me to take it out and play it and worship Him.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to be a praise and worship leader. I'm supposed to be on the praise and worship team. Or, you know, oh, I forgot I was an intercessor. Or, you know, all these things that God reveals when they listen to the music.
Mm.
We even have testimonies from people that listen to the Revelation Glory CD, and they'll send us an email and say, how did you get all those angels to sing on the Revelation Glory CD?
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, I was there when Nicole recorded it, and I don't remember organizing any angels. And I said, well, we didn't, because like Nicole says, what you're going to hear tonight and what's on the CDs are completely unrehearsed, uncut, unedited. It's just from the keyboards to the disc, blessed by God, and He continues to just bless people. And the same thing with the prophetic glory. You know, is it 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, I forget all the time.
Okay. Let love be your highest aim, and desire the spiritual gift, especially that you may prophesy.
Amen.
So that's God's desire for us.
Amen. Yeah. So we all should be prophesying.
Say.
We all should be prophesying.
That's my word.
And some people say.
And it may be through word or dreams, but also maybe through prophetic art. You know, painting. It doesn't mean, you know, that you're going to be a voice of a, you know, prophet that way, but, you know, maybe prophetic dance and song.
Yeah, there's some creative arts in the prophetic. You know, whatever you do, as Nicole says, dancing, painting, sculpting, it doesn't make a difference. See, God wants us to use our talents and abilities. He didn't give them to us just so they could sit under a doormat or be
under a bed
or be idle or do whatever. You know, God wants us up front in the front lines. He wants us doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
You know? And, you know, I remember Joan Hunter, Charles and Francis' daughter, you know, she gives this story as part of her testimony. It's so very true. She said,
I'm starting to see some silver
flowing
on you right
like
now.
Yeah, it's all over. It's kind of like diamond stuff here. It's cool. I just left more to you. Even coming, anyhow, so she said when she graduated from ORU and she was, you know, with her parents and everything, she would pray to God this prayer. God, I'm ready to go into the world, and I'm ready to, you know, bring salvation to everybody and get people healed, so send me out to the world. And God told her, you won't even go and witness to your neighbor.
Hmm.
So why would I send you to the world?
Come on.
You know, so that's for all of us. You know, that's for every single one of us that we are, the remnant are God's people. The remnant are the front lines. Because you know what? Mainstream church is not getting it done, folks. I guarantee you, mainstream. I have nothing against mainstream churches. I'm just telling you. You know, Nicole and I travel a lot. When we live in Colorado, we travel to Arizona, all different places like we're doing now. And it always used to amaze me. We'd go somewhere on a Sunday and in Arizona, in the Colorado area, and as we're driving down the road, you see all the gambling casino parking lots are full of people, All the adult video places are full of people on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And the church parking lots are empty. So is mainstream church doing their job? Not really. So guess what? We have to go out and beat the bushes. We have to go out and talk to the lost. We have to go out and tell people. Leonard Ravenhill says one of my favorite scriptures is, we don't need another definition of Christianity. We need a demonstration of Christianity.
That's
what we need to do. We need to be demonstrating what God does.
Come on.
And so it's so important that what this music is doing for people, doing is reviving people, it's restoring, equipping, healing. And, you know, we get so many testimonies, like I said, we can't even catalog them. You know, we just can't do it because there's so many. But we even had a lady who told us she played Healing Lori after several months of, you know, I think it was 6 to 7 months of unsuccessfully trying to potty train her child, played Healing Glory, and then within 2 days, the child was potty trained. And she attributes that to Healing Glory.
Amen.
You know, so, God's
all gonna, things are possible.
That's right. Nothing is impossible with God. We say that, and I love that saying because it's true. Nothing is impossible. You know, it doesn't make a difference what your circumstances are. God is bigger. God is greater. God's going to make things happen.
Amen.
And so, as you know, when Nicole plays this music tonight, what's so very important is that you expect. You know, Acts chapter 4, Peter and John with the lame man at the beautiful gate. You know, that guy was just looking for some coins, just looking for something small.
Mm.
But what they had to give him was greater. So what are we expecting? We're expecting something small from God, we expect something big from God.
Amen.
You know, that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is, guys.
I was just wondering, when you get the music, do you see it first, or does it just come out of your spirit? Or, I mean, people, like in the prophetic, they get things differently. Some people hear it, some people see it. How do you get it most of the time?
Well, I just hear from him. It's just impressed upon me of what my album is going to be called and what it's going to do. And then he will tell me what key to record it in. That's what happened with the first 3 CDs. And then he gave me biblical references that I didn't even know or expect, you know. And I just did a new CD called River Glory.
Mm.
But this one was done a little bit differently because I was in the mountains in Tennessee where I like to go and worship God at the cabin there and down by the creek. And I was... I brought my recorder and was recording the sounds of the river, and you know, and where I sit and listen and hear from God, and I had my keyboards there, and I was just worshiping God there by the river, and I didn't even know until I got back home to Kansas, God told me to put them together and make a CD called River Glory, and that people need the refreshing and filling.
Mm-hmm.
They need, you know, to drink from the living water and let the living water flow through them. You know, so many people are so dried up, you know, so dried up. We get dried up fast if we're not continually drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I put this on and I just drink of His presence. So you can hear the last sounds of the river and the supernatural sound together. And Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He invites us, you know, to drink and drink of His presence and be filled, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the drinking and the flowing. So it just reminds you to drink, and then you're just drinking in His presence, you know, with the sound. You know, if you don't drink from His presence, we get dried up or we'll start stagnating and, you know, start maybe trying to find water from other sources than the life-giving source.
Mm.
And we have to drink, you know, from the river of God.
And you guys have each of the CDs tonight?
Yes, we do.
And they are how much?
They're 28.
Okay.
Amen.
There you go.
There you go. Get some for everybody.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have a special for 2 of the same CDs for $35 because everyone always knows they want to bring one home or they want to send one to somebody. They'll, you know, so we make a special for that.
Amen. Amen. So, guys, get ready. Get ready. I want to hear the feedback and days to come, even tonight. We want to receive the calls coming in. We want to receive those that are listening and here, part of the audience. We want to hear about what the Lord has done tonight. And please let them know, too. Just head on over to livinginglory.org and just follow them around. And I believe that God's going to bring you back here again and maybe even plant you over here. Lord Jesus, but we're excited about tonight. We're going to get ready for worship, guys, and just flow in it. And for those that are listening again, livinginglory.org. No,
living in glory.
But you will be living in the glory. Yes, you listen, hallelujah. And head on over to Popham, P-O-P-P-M.org. Again, for Marianne for opening up this beautiful home for us to all be here.
Does anybody in here need healing tonight? Because, and everywhere I go, somebody needs healing. And so we see miracles and healings everywhere we go. God cares about every single thing about you, and nothing is difficult for him, you know. And nothing is impossible for God. So whatever you need from God, I just encourage you to press in. If you want to stand and raise your hands into the glory realm, if you want to lay front on four out of care, you know, if you know that you receive better standing, I mean, I know I do. I actually have to go down the front, and, you know, so you're welcome to, excuse me, people, get out of my way, because I'm here to get my miracles tonight, okay? We cannot let anyone get in our way. Yeah.
You came here tonight
to be changed by God. We didn't come here just for a happy meeting, you know? This is just being the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just have your way in this place tonight, God. I just thank you, Lord, for touching your people. I just worship you, Lord. We just worship him. Just put your eyes on the Holy Spirit. Don't think about anything else right now. We just worship you. We worship you. If you just want to sing to him, sing to him. We worship him. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, God. There's
Thank you, Lord. You're healing stomach conditions in the name of Jesus. I give you praise and glory.
lot of that was due to stress. Thank you.
Whatever anybody needs, God, is
God, I just pray for supernatural energy in the name of Jesus, increase the metabolism. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Forgive yourself, because he's already forgiven it, so Father, forgive myself. I thank you for sending blessings my way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He wants you free. He wants you free. He wants you free. Just forgive yourself. He wants you to start fresh and anew right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And you're going to see those things that he's showing you in your heart. He's going to give you the desires in your heart. He's put them there. Thank you, Lord. In the prophetic word, thank you, Lord. But no prophetic word that ever came from you, God. Be undone, I thank you, Lord. That you will make a way where there seems to be no way. I thank you, Lord. I give you glory. I give you praise. I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to supernaturally turn back the clock 10 years, God. Just supernaturally turn everybody's clock back 10 years and run forward in power and strength and finish this race. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't ever believe the lies of the enemy that you're too old or you're too young or you're not educated enough or you're not good enough. Because you are good enough. And it's not too late. If you're here today, it means it's not too late for you. And anything that you want to do for God, you can do for God.
we see that a lot. No matter where we go, we always get this from God. There's an orphan spirit that likes to tell you that you're alone, that nobody loves you, that you're abandoned, that there's nothing good that you can do. But God says, you can do anything as long as you have me. So we break off that orphan spirit right now in the name of Jesus. It leaves this room. It leaves this house. It goes out back into the dismal abyss that it came from in the name of Jesus. And we just speak health and healing to whomever that is. It could be one. It could be many. It doesn't make a difference. If you've ever felt that way, there's no need to. That's just the enemy trying to paint you into a corner so that you can't do what you have to do for him. And I also have a word for somebody here, and I don't know who it's for, but I will, if it's for you, just take it and run with it. And it's this: in the spectrum of human emotions, when we're dealing with other people, Christians and non-Christians alike, words are always exchanged, and they're never usually pleasant or good sometimes. But what God told me to tell whoever this person is this: What it is, you haven't done anything wrong. It's very important that you understand whoever you are, you haven't done anything wrong. You are a child of the Most High God. You're the head and not the tail. No matter what people say, no matter what people think, somebody said something, you responded, but you didn't do anything wrong. And the last thing is, forgive yourself. Sometimes we put too much pressure and blame on ourselves for things that don't go right. We need to learn to forgive ourselves too.
You're going to be set free. Fresh
impartation of anointing, God. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Fill. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're going to be able to get filled up so much more easier now. That's how we need to be on you. Praise God. Thank you, God. Just drink of His presence. Thank you. 5-mile radius would be impacted. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the healings going into the atmosphere, Lord. Minimum of 45-mile radius. I just thank you, Jesus, for the healings we just send to their loved ones around, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. One time we were in a meeting and I called out that somebody's kidneys were being healed. No one in the church needed new kidneys, but the pastor knew who it was. It was the elder in his church. And he was in a hospital over 100 miles away. And he got on a cell phone right there in the service and he said, they're calling out kidneys right now. And he said, I know because I'm standing up. And he was on the bed and couldn't get out of the bed. I don't know if he needed one or two, but he was on the kidney transplant list and in the bed. Walking around, got better so fast, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to take you off that list because we need it for the people who really need a kidney, and you don't. And the Lord had healed him all the way there, so thank you, Jesus. If I caught up something tonight that you didn't, nobody in here needed, then it was for somebody that you know, and just, we believe that that is what.
She said she's Catholic, and a friend had brought her to the service,
And she said, I was so mad. I was just mad. And she said, I just totally got indignant. And I was mad. And I had to ask God to forgive me, you know, for being that mad. But her friend was like, what's wrong? And she was like ready to leave before service even started. And she was like, how could they let animals in the church? I mean, this is the house of God. There's animals in the church. She's like, what are you talking about? There's no animals. And she was like, yes, there is right there. There's that white horse following that girl around. And she was like, the Lord is supposed to be showing this to you because, you know, it's not, I don't see it. It's not there. You know, after a couple of other people, will face you. She thought so clear, like, you see me, well, hopefully you don't see me, but, you know, anybody in here around, physically. It was so clear. She was, I mean, indignant, you know, why would they allow animals in the church? And then, what happened was she explained, and then, you know, that she was seeing in the spirit, you know, that she was seeing this thing there that it wasn't really there physically, you know, that nobody let it in that way. And she said, now this, your daughter must have such a call on her life with horses. And she said, gave him a $50 bill, and she said, give this to your daughter, and whatever she wants to do with horses. And it just so happened she was wanting money to go to the horse camp, and, you know, and then she ended up volunteering the next few weeks at horse camp, and now she owns a horse. And so, but we had told Tiffany about this story, you know, about the horse, and she said she felt it breathing on her back and, like, pushing her, nudging her, because it was soft and nudging her, but she couldn't see it. So she just thought, she said, I thought some creepy man was breathing on you, so that's why she would run. She would, like, look over her shoulder and run. See, we have no idea sometimes these things, you know, but they're here. The angels are here, you know, and we just have no idea sometimes, no clue. And he sees so many of them in our house and everywhere, and they're constantly on station around my keyboards, whether I'm playing them or not. And I have three sets, and there's always 12 angels around them praying 24/7, and they're like on 12-hour rotating shifts. And the only way you know that is because he can see them so clearly that he can recognize the differences in the coloring of their clothes, their hair, you know, the whole features and such. And there's just they're just praying, I guess, and, you know, helping protect, you know, what God's doing.
You can't.
I'm in glory land. How do you want me to?
You go ahead and share whatever you want to share.
And put this board over here, or we're going to knock your leg over.
Thank you, God.
Here.
Oh, you're
right. I want to say this lady that came up and gave her testimony. We had this guy in Russia. When we were there in a place called Siraj, Russia, which is the southwest part of Russia, 15 hours by the car ride from hell to get there, and it was bad. But there was this guy in church about 34, 35 years old, and it was our second service in this same church. We had four services over 2 days in the same church. Because we were only supposed to have two, but so many people showed up. The pastor decided at the last minute he was going to add more and then tell us 3:30 in the morning when we got there. That, oh, your first service is at 11, I forgot to tell you. Thanks, pastor. But anyhow, there was this young man there, and he's, and I was just kind of walking around and watching people and listening for God and hearing from God, and this guy sitting over here in a pew, and all of a sudden, his eyes get big like saucers. And I'm looking at him and trying to figure out what he's looking at, and I can't see anything. But then all of a sudden, he's watching something move, come down off the platform, and then go into the pew that he's with, and then the guy just fell down. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't see anything. And then the second service that night,
I had a word from God for him, and I called him up and I said, God told me to tell you this. You used to have many businesses, many houses, lots of wonderful things, but you lost them all. The only thing you have left of all that is your car. But God told me he's going to restore everything to you 2 times more than what you had before because of your faithfulness with God and that you stood up for God when other people were mocking him and, you know, mocking God and mocking what you believe in, but you stood up for God and God's going to reward you for that. And the guy breaks down crying, I mean, hysterically, for about a good 10 minutes. So I wasn't sure what to do, so I just kind of hung out with him. And then finally found an interpreter, and he told me that at the 11 o'clock service, he was just watching Nicole play the keyboards, and all of a sudden he saw Jesus materialize on the platform next to her. And he just was watching, and he didn't know if he was seeing things, he didn't know what was going on. And then Jesus came down from the platform and went into his pew where he was sitting. Jesus put his arm around him and said the exact same words that I had given him 5 minutes ago. And we keep seeing this more and more as God keeps using our ministry and using what we do. We have so many words of people saying they've seen Jesus in our services. You know, I do see angels. There's angels in this room right now. There was angels in here when I came in tonight. I already saw them, man. There was one out here on your back porch, and there's one standing right there now by this door. It's, I guess that goes to your basement or garage or whatever. So there's one big one right there. So, you know, the wonderful thing about God is that he gives us stuff that we don't even know we have. He gives us stuff that we might ask for and forgot about, but he gives it to us anyhow. And so I think what's so vitally important as the remnant of God that we constantly learn to embrace. We have to constantly learn to embrace. See, this is a lifestyle. You know, I hate that word lifestyle because I'll tell you why. Everybody talks about everybody else's lifestyle but the Christian lifestyle or the kingdom seeker lifestyle. But personally, I don't like to be called a Christian because everybody uses that term. You know, Mormons use the term. Jehovah's Witnesses now use the term that they're Christians. You know what? I'd rather be a kingdom seeker. I'd rather see what God's doing than go follow him and do it. But, you know, you can call yourself anything you want. It's not really important what you call yourself as long as you're out doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. So you want to call yourself an easy boo boy, it's fine. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do. Because that's what God's plan is. See, Christian actually, in Greek, means Christ-like. You know, so what's Christ-like? Healing sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, giving prophetic words. You know, the greatest gift of love, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, feeding, feeding the sick. You can feed the sick too. Feed the hungry. You know, shelter those who have no shelter. The glory's getting thicker up there now. Just keep doing what we're doing, just constantly. And you know what? Years everywhere we go. But Dan. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the pressure I'm under. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know this. You don't know that. You know, you're absolutely right. I don't know. But he knows. So you know what? You just do what Jesse Duplantis says. You know, Jesus, you got mail. You know, take care of this. You know, he spends over $1 million a month in television bills because he's all over the world and everything. Somebody asked him, well, when you get all those bills, what do? He said, I just hold them up to Jesus and say, Jesus, you got mail. Okay? And that's what we need to do when we have these issues, when we have these situations, when we have these circumstances. Jesus, you got mail. Something else I want to share with you, because, man, sorry.
You not me.
You're going to hold me up. What I was going to say is 5 years ago, God gave me this word when I was praying. And people are always praying for revival. You know, oh, God's in revival. Oh, God, we need revival. Oh, God. Yeah, it's right. Revival's great. Revival's awesome. But in our country right now, you know, we need reformation first before we'll ever see revival. And God told me 5 years ago when I was praying for reformation, praying for just, God, do something down here, will you please? I mean, we see it in small pieces across the country, but we need to have a big wild, we need to have all those pieces like a wildfire unite and sweep and cleanse and burn. But he told me, he said, well, you know what? He said, revival will not come through a mainstream denomination or religion or even a mainstream ministry. He said, revival is going to come from a small pockets of remnant that I have throughout the country. So guess what? That's all of us. We're all remnant. That's all of us. The revival's going to start. See, we got to have a revival within us before we can take it somewhere.
That's right. Come on. That's
you know? We have to put things before God. You know, the things we don't like, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got to put them before God and say, you know, and no, I'm the first to admit, you know, my God, I don't want to give this to you. You know what? If I want to go farther with God, if I want to go deeper with God, if I want to go higher with God, we have to give it all to Him. Everything. So you think about this. There's probably 20 people in this room right now. And we had 20 people that were in personal revival. Right? First thing would happen is all your neighbors on your street would get saved. And then guess what? As the revivalist, and that's another title that I don't understand why people call themselves, because there's no such word in the Bible, a revivalist. But as a person in personal revival, and you're bringing people to the Lord, and you're praying for them, and their kids are getting healed and getting saved and getting delivered, well, guess what? You are now their leader. Because they don't know what else. All they know is what you've told them. All they know is what you've shown them. All they know is how God healed them, or God gave them that prophetic word. So it's so very important that we pray for personal revival first before we can even get a countrywide revival. I mean, there are people that are pressing for it. I mean, we were, the last 2 nights, we were in Wildwood, New Jersey at the Carpenter Shop. What a crazy place. The church is wild. I tell you that right now, I love it. The church is wild. But Wildwood, New Jersey is just Wildwood, New Jersey. You know, I put it on my Facebook page that we had some wonderful times in Wildwood, New Jersey. And this morning, Nicole and I got up early so we could watch the sunrise come up over God's creation, right? So someone sent me a personal Facebook message and asked me if I saw Snooky or Snooky, Snooky. Well, I don't even know what a Snooky is, okay? But they want to know if I saw Snooky. So I told them, no. See, so does anybody know what a Snooky is?
Yeah.
What was a Snooky?
Reality TV, they're asking if you saw this reality TV where there was Italians, they were Italian. And they lived in a house, men and women together, and they were just crazy, crazy people doing things that weren't good. Alcohol,
well, I mean,
sex.
What's that have to do with New Jersey?
Because that's where they had it.
Oh!
That's why they're asking if you saw her.
So,
yeah.
Is it? Oh, absolutely. Thank you. That was good. That was my question. That's a guy or girl? That's a girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's pretty sad who this person is that they know what that is instead of knowing the state of our country right now. You know, I mean, those crazy, crazy things. Snooky. Who would name your kid Snooky?
They didn't.
So anyhow, we're there in Wildwood, New Jersey. I've never been to Wildwood, New Jersey before. And this church is awesome because they're all prophetic. They're all running their prophetic. And they had us before we, each night before we actually got up and ministered, they had us stand up there and look at everybody. And then they would pray for us, and anybody who would get a prophetic word could come up and share a prophetic word. You know? And, you know, that's the way they do things, and that's fine. You know, as long as God's in it, I don't care. But it was so very interesting, the 2 nights that we got the prophetic words. Oh, they were like, all of them were like 100% accurate. Things, prophetic words that we've heard before, or things God told us. Because really, that's what the gift of prophecy is. God tells you, and then it's confirmed by somebody you don't even know, like with Nicole's keyboards. You know, God told her, Preston, or I need to get a set of keyboards. Okay. We do what we're told, you know. Snooky. Who named their kid Snooky? I'm sorry. Hey, let me get back to Russia. So anyhow, when we were in Russia, by the time they got done the praise and worship team, we were in two places. This is in the first place, Siraj, where guys saw Jesus standing next to Nicole. By the time praise and worship was done, it was like 11:45, 12 o'clock, and Nicole got up, started playing and sharing. You know, it was pretty neat doing this radio interview thing we did tonight, too, because that's pretty much her testimony that she usually gives on the first night, so we got it all knocked out at one time. But anyhow, it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and our interpreter told us, if you don't stop praying for these people, they'll just keep you here till 7. So she said, you guys she told me, grab Nicole and just walk out, and they'll understand that the service is over, but as long as they're here in the church, they're going to think it's still going on. So that's what we did. We went, and we got something to eat. They took us back to the hotel. And these people, there was anywhere between anywhere between 100 and 150 people. And they came from all over Moscow, all over Russia. We had pastors from Belarus and the Ukraine, and praise and worship leaders, and youth pastors, and associate pastors. And what they did was, they stayed in that church from the time we left until 7 p.m. when the next service started, and just prayed. Both Friday and Saturday we were there. You know, I have never, ever seen that before. But when we came back a little after 7 o'clock and praise and worship was going on, the power of God was so strong we could hardly walk in the building. And, you know, I had a prophetic word for that pastor of the church, and so I told the interpreter, please call the pastor forward because I have a prophetic word for him. Well, that got lost in translation somewhere, because next thing I know, I got like 15 pastors on the platform, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, this must be a pretty big church to have all these pastors here, you know? And, but they weren't. They were all pastors from all over Russia and the Ukraine and Belarus. But see, when you do the praise and worship that they do, and I need to tell you this, I didn't understand a word they said. I didn't understand a word they were singing. But I understand the presence of God, and I understand the power of God, and God just showed up. And it was so wonderful and so powerful. And so, you know, God, the Word says that God inhabits the praises of His people. You know, I heard Sid Ross say the other day, if you want to make a difference in your prayer life, pray in tongues for 1 hour every day. And put on praise and worship music in the background, but just pray in tongues every day. You know, our nation, you know, and I don't care what your political views are personally, but our nation is in a lot of turmoil right now. I don't see it getting any better in the near future. But God has a plan for this country. And the only way the plan is going to come out and win is if the remnant get before God, have that personal revival, give everything that you need to give to God, you give to Him. Become holy and pure before God. Because, you know, I love this country. You know, we all love this country. And our country used to be the greatest country in the world. I mean, I've lived overseas for a very long time. I've traveled all over the world, mostly out of ministry in my corporate jobs and in the military. And I can tell you, if you've ever been to some of these third world countries or to a Muslim country, you'll know why people want to come here. So, you know, the music's still going, and the healing is still here, and the power of God is just, I can see, it's just a glory cloud in here right now, just a glory cloud. And I'm thinking, man, that you probably have this in your house all the time. You know, just this presence, just this glory that's here, and that's wonderful. And so I was going into glory land, and then Nicole made me stand up. And you know, emotional healing is so very important that we get our minds wrapped around what really emotional healing is. It's nothing more than forgiving people. You know, they have cleansing streams, and they have all these courses you can go to and learn to be a cleansing stream minister. You know, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Henry Wright. You know, he wrote a wonderful book on healing. He actually went up to medical school almost his entire life, and then God told him to drop out of medical school and become a pastor. And then everything he learned in medical school, he put in this wonderful book on healing. And he says, you know, it's just like what we teach, you know. Jesus, I forgive so-and-so, and I send blessings their way. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And we've seen so many miracles with emotional healing. I remember when we first got into emotional healing, we were doing a service, and this guy came in into the service, and he was bent over completely at the waist, so he was looking at the ground while they walked. Sometime during the service, we didn't even know when it was, a power God hit him. He lets out this blood-curdling scream and starts running around the inside of the building. You know, no matter what happens, no matter what God does, I'm always in awe. I'm saying, how cool is this, right? He rent, service is over, he leaves the church, you know. He's all happy, his family members are happy. Comes in the next service, completely bent over. Same thing happened on the second night. Third night, comes in, completely bent over. I said, okay, God, is this guy making this up? You know, what's he doing? And God told me very clearly, I cannot fully manifest a physical healing because he has unforgiveness issues in his heart. So I started on this quest for emotional healing, and we learned emotional healing. So there was this pastor that we knew in Colorado. We were telling him about it, and he said, would you and your wife take me and my wife through this emotional healing? So they had pastored a church, and they got nothing but beat up one side and down the other. So that's what we did. We took them through this, and they were completely changed. And he needed physical healing in his body, and God just delivered it to him. His wife needed physical healing, and God just showed up and healed him. And now they're back pastoring a different church today in Colorado. So we got on this thing, and then this pastor, he calls his friend who's a pastor in Minnesota, and we get a phone call at our house, and they say, hey, we're coming in from Minnesota. Can you take us through emotional healing? How did you get my name and number? And that's what started us on it. So we were actually experimenting with about half a dozen pastors and their wives. And I told them, look, this is just experimental on our part. We really don't have any idea what we're doing. But, you know, God showed up, and God delivered it, and God made them whole, and God made them happy, and God, you know, God healed them, because that's what God does. We had this one incident, 14-year-old boy in Colorado. If you want to minister to a youth, their parents have to be there, one or the other. You can't minister to a youth unless it's in a group, but I mean, an individual, they consider that counseling in Colorado, so a child, his parent has to be there. This young man comes to us, and he has anger issues, and, you know, his parents said, you know, can you just talk to him and see what God will do with him? We said, sure. So we started talking about unforgiveness, and he said, make a list of people, you know, who you think you need to forgive. It's that simple. And he took his time. He wrote out about 13 or 14 names, which is pretty good, because we had one lady who wrote out 6 legal pads front and back of names. And it took us a while to get her through that, but we did it. And this young man, he had acne on his face so bad, it looked like he had a leather mask on. I mean, it was that bad. And so we took him through this list one at a time. You know, Jesus, I forgive, you know, my dad, and I said, you know, and his brother and his sister. The last person on the list was his grandmother. And he said, Jesus, I forgive my grandmother, and I send blessings her way. And he's getting very emotional about it. And then, as Nicole said, you don't feel that release. She keeps saying it until you feel that release. You know, because you can't say, oh, Jesus, I forgive so-and-so. I send blessings her way. No, it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Okay?
So anyhow, we finally got, he only said his grandmother's name a couple of times, and then he looked at us, and he never smiled. He did everything down like this, and then when he said his grandmother's name, he raised his head, and he had his big smile on his face, and he said, "I feel like a chain has just been lifted off my neck." And he's very happy, and he's crying, and as we're looking at him, his acne on his face is just clearing up. He had like brand new baby skin. And we found out later after talking to his parents that what happened was a couple days after he was born, his mom and dad both worked. They would drop him as a baby off to his grandmother, and she would watch him in the daytime. And then when he was 3 or 4 years old, she unexpectedly just passed away. And he's 3 or 4 years old, he had unforgiveness towards her. You know? You might say, well, can that happen? Well, it did. You know, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, a child in a mother's womb can hear things from the outside. We've dealt and ministered with people who, as babies, you know, they said, you know, I remember hearing something, but I don't know what, you know. Babies being born in the delivery room. I had one guy about 80 years old I ministered to one-on-one one time at his house. He's 80 years old. He said he always felt completely alone and unworthy. He's 80 years old, and he's just figuring this out. And I said, why? And he said, well, I remember when I was being born, I don't know who said it or what was said, but what I heard was I wanted a girl, not a boy. So these things can get ingrained into us, even at a very young age. So I just encourage everyone here that just, you know, God loves you with an everlasting love. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Even though a lot of times we probably left Him and have forsaken Him. But He has never left us. Does anybody else have a testimony? Nobody has a testimony but one person. It's okay, I know who you are. That's okay. See, I tell people, two biggest fears in the world are public speaking, public speaking and death. So that means most of you would rather be dead than give the eulogy.
Yeah, it's like that pressure cooker, you know. they're those kind of Christians, you know, that, they're the charismatics, you know. But no, I really felt safe here tonight, and it was good. I mean, just the music, and it really ushered in the presence of God and reminded me that I can have that every day, and I neglect to do it, and much to my shame and to my my detriment. I mean, I don't know why we neglect to be still, because I really feel like I hadn't been in God's presence like that in so long. So thank you so much for bringing me back there.
Hey, ma'am, you want to know why? Not just you, but a lot of people, and sometimes us too. I mean, we forget to get into that praise and worship thing. It's because we are so success-driven. We are so, you know, and maybe not even success-driven sometimes, but so got to get this done-driven. I got to get here. I have to do this. I have to go there. I got to get this done, you know. And so we're driven by that. And taking away our time to do what we're supposed to be doing with God is nothing more than a plot of the enemy. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take away what's so very important, because, you know, and you know, this is the pot calling the kettle black right here, because you can ask her, that's the way I am. I get something in my mind, I got to get it done. And, you know, I get up in the morning and get ready to go and you know, and drink my coffee, and I'll say, okay, I got to go. Where are you going? I'm going to Home Depot for what, whatever. No, you're not going anywhere. Did you spend time with God today? Okay, dear, I'll stay home a little while longer, because that's the way we get, you know. And I've been a lot better over the years, but, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, especially if you have a career and you're career-driven and you work hard and, you know, you do these things. So, you know, I just lift up everybody here to you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for her testimony, Lord, because it's... And I thank her for the courage to come up here and say it, because that's a word we all needed to hear, God, that you are number one, and we need to spend time with you. We need to sup with you. We need to get soaked in your presence. We need to get saturated in the Holy Spirit. We need to just stay close, close, close to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. So anybody that has any of those time issues, I break that off in the name of Jesus. And I just say, Lord, just give them... Lord, just make the time for them, Lord, because they're going to make the time for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And then, like I said on the broadcast earlier, I think you were there when we were over here, right? We have to remember to drink of His presence, and it's so easy. If you're not in church, every day, you know, 2 services a day, you know, 10 and 7, it is easy to get dried up. And we have to drink of His presence. We have to. Our survival depends on it. Our whole victory depends on it, you know. We have to do things with His strength and not our strength. And it's just so wonderful, you know, that for whatever time you spend with God, it's going to just transform you. And you're not going to have the worry and the stress and all that like you used to, because you're drinking from the living water and you're being transformed from glory to glory. And you're going to notice things are going to get taken care of. You put in first, and you're going to notice how easy that was, you know, to make that phone call later or this thing come through the mail or anything that you need, because you're putting in first. And the Word says, seek first His kingdom and all these things will be added to you. But it's so much easier to just spend time in His presence and the glory. That's what I love. I can put on River Glory. I put it on every morning, and you guys can't do that yet because I haven't released it. But I just actually get the cover made, and then, you know, and then you guys can enjoy that every morning too, and, you know, or all throughout the day, you know. And it's just so refreshing. When you just hear the music, I've heard this before, you know, just people have it playing in the background. It doesn't have to be loud. If you want it loud, you know, get the best speakers and do it right, you know, put some surround sound and get, you know, that, you know, you may go to heaven and not come back for a while, you know, or turn it down, you know. Just being there, it's going to change the atmosphere. It's going to remind you, you know, to be in His presence, just hearing it, you know, and a lot of people listen to it 24 hours a day, and it just creates a whole different atmosphere, and people seeing angels, hear angels sing. This lady last night said that she just put in Healing Glory CD and heard angels singing on it, and I haven't heard that before on Healing Glory. I've heard it on Revelation Glory several times, but it's an open atmosphere with the sound, and it's proven, you know, with the harp, and it's a supernatural sound. God's doing miracles with it. He's made it for the body. He's made it for the remnant. He's made it for us, you know, that we can continually be in His presence and have victory in His presence and know we're in His presence, you know, just being in His glory and to be healed and to receive revelation and be activated in your giftings, you know. And if you know you have giftings in your life, and if you, this one lady was listening to Revelation Glory CD, and she makes quilts, and she just got so drunk in the spirit listening to that. She said she didn't even know what she's doing. She just ended up using colors she never ever used before. She sells quilts at quilt fairs, you know. And see, I guess she usually uses those country colors, you know, like the whites and pale blues and stuff. Well, this one, she ended up using burgundy and gold and purples. And she said, I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even know how it was going to turn out, because she said I was so drunk. And she said it even turned out a little bigger than the others. She really didn't even know it. She was just so blessed in the presence and quilting, you know, to this. And she took this to the Cracker in Wichita, and it's, I think it's a 3-day event, and she had it hanging up in the back of her booth, and all 3 days, you know, it's still hanging there. 10 minutes before the whole thing shuts down, that's when somebody will usually try to come in and say, oh, I'll give you this much for it, you know, and, you know, just because they know you want to get rid of stuff or whatever, and try to talk you down out of your price. Well, this guy walks by, and he stops, and he sees it, and he just stopped in the track, and he said, I've got to have that quilt. And he took it out of his wallet, and he took everything out of his wallet, and he gave it to her, and he said, ma'am, I've got to have that quilt. Please take this. I know it's not mine, but I have to have that quilt. And she counted the money, and it's $150, and she said, I'm only asking $75 for it. And he said, oh, no. He said, if I had even more in my wallet, it was worth so much more. Please, please take it. I just have to have it. So she was doubly blessed, you know, with this. And now she makes her quilt. And, you know, listening to that. And, you know, God just wants to bless us. He really does. He wants to bless us with healing, revelation, prosperity, you know, prophetic giftings. Anything you do is going to touch the world, you know, with whatever gifts you have, and he really wants you to step out and get it out there, you know. So many people have hidden talents, you know, or they don't play their instrument anymore. You know, I hear that one a lot, where you go, you know, I have a flute in the closet, I have a guitar in the closet, you know. But you could take that out and just start making up songs to God, like I do, just worship God, and, you know, from your heart to God, and that's worship, you know, and he loves that, and you're created to worship him, and you're going to be happy when you're doing what you're created to do. When you're not doing what you're created to do, that's when we turn into things we don't like and other people don't like about us. But when we're doing what we're created to do, we have that fullness of joy, because we're operating right, we're being, you know, it's flowing.
Do you want to fix that one?
No, keep going. I'm going to wait till you're done, dear.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
People are asking all the time, where do you get your ministry name? Okay, God gave it to us. It's that simple. He tells us what to call it, so that's what we called it. And then he gave us his Bible verse for it, and it goes in line with what you were talking about when you were testifying up here. It's a 2 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 16, it says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. Okay? Verse 18, and all of us have had that veil removed. Can you turn that page?
that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. See, we get His presence every day like we're supposed to, or every night, or 24/7, however you want to do it. You know, we're mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. So that's what we're really supposed to be doing, is living in the glory, living in God's glory. You know, because His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's what's going on up in heaven. You know, when we get up into heaven, you know, there's no shadows in heaven. It's magnificent light. There's no shadows. And that's the glory of the God. So, you know, we should be mirroring that here on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we can, I mean, and, you know, are we there? No. We try, you know. Is anybody there? I don't know. I don't know if anybody, aside from the people that are already in heaven, can actually be in His presence 24/7 and go around and touch everything and you know, like, you know, your shadow casts over the sick. I mean, why aren't we emptying out hospitals? How come we don't go to insane asylums? Well, I don't know if we have those anymore in this country, but, you know, we have homes for the criminally insane and all these crowds. You know, how come we're not going there helping these people? You know, what, you know, we should be emptying out hospitals, you know? I mean, I remember I've been on teams, we've gone to the hospitals when we were in Orlando, and doctors didn't like it. You know, they didn't like it because people are getting healed. Don't you really think that if the pharmaceutical companies wanted us healed, they'd heal us? It's too big of a billion-dollar industry. You know, the word pharmakia in the Greek, if you look it up in the concordance, means control. And I got to tell you this, because I know you've all heard these crazy commercials they have on TV now for all these drugs. I listen to this. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I listen to it, you know. And, you know, if you have X condition, you take these pills, and you won't have X condition anymore, but you're going to have suicidal thoughts. Really?
Stroke and heart attack.
Yeah, right. Yeah, stroke and heart attack. Your eyes are going to fall out, you know. You know, but guess what? You won't be depressed anymore, okay? You won't be able to see, but you won't be depressed. I mean, I don't understand that. And all you have to do is you step out in faith and lay our hands on people. Mark 15, the extended version says, the believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They'll cast out demons. You know, they'll raise the dead. That's what we're supposed to be doing as believers. We want to thank you for inviting us here tonight. And thanks for opening your home, ma'am. It's always a pleasure to be with God's people and be with God's remnant. I'm just going to close in prayer. So, God, I just lift up everyone to you here right now. And I thank you for who they are. And I thank you, Lord, that they're healed. And those that don't know that they're healed are going to know they're healed tomorrow or the next day, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, God. Someone has a blood condition. It's getting healed right now in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for that, God. And, Lord, we just lift them up to you, Lord. I just put them right at the feet of your throne, Lord. They're just right there in your presence right now. I ask that you bless them and that you give them provision and you protect them wherever they go and whatever they do for you in the name of Jesus. And God, thank you for who you are. And thank you. And we also lift up Alan and Francine to you, Lord, for what they're doing and how they're impacting this area, Lord. Bless them. Bless their children. And God, we thank you for everyone here. And we ask that you continue to love them, bless them, guide them, and keep them safe in your holy name. And all God's saints said, amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to thank everyone for coming out.
You know, and I wanted to say something too real quick, because I am kind of like Dan. I'm just like, okay, I got to do this, got to do that, and this was just something I needed, and I knew that we needed to have you here, because it's so important to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, the Word says that He would want us to be in rest. And a lot of people say, you know, well, that's just on Sunday, okay? And it's not. It's 24/7, 365. And if we were in perfect rest in who He is and who He is in us, then we wouldn't be going through most of the stuff that we've been going through. And so for me, it was a blessing to just be quiet and to rest in Him, you know, to be in His presence. So I thank you for that. And we are going to get them, and we don't have the CDs yet, but we are going to get them. And I encourage everybody else to, too, because, you know, you don't need to have singing and everything, you know, to get into His presence. I mean, just the sound gets you there. And it will move mountains, because I felt some shift tonight. So, praise God.
Well, I have one more thing. If you're on Facebook, Nicole's on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, but she also has a Nicole, what's it called? Nicole Lawrence Glory Music page. So go there and like that. And we also have a newsletter. We
if you like it, don't like it.
If you don't like it, too bad. You'll like it by the time you're done. And but we have a newsletter sign up. We basically send out like one email a month, because we know people get inundated with that kind of stuff. And we'll have a sign up sheet if anybody wants to sign up and receive it. And like I said, it's just once a month, and kind of does some different stuff. So thank you, Jesus.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. We love you. Until next time, be blessed and walk in your anointing and your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo.